Welcome back to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you.
All right, everyone, welcome to another episode of the Electrify News podcast. I'm your host, Joe Morris. I'm here today with Tracy Price. He is the founder and CEO of Q Merit. And Tracy, thanks for being on with us today. And you know, for those of you unfamiliar with Q Merit, they are the guys that your dealership partners with, your OEM partners with, to make sure that you can have reliable, safe, dependable level two charging in your garage. They handle the installation. They do all of that. But that's really oversimplifying it, right? Like, Tracy, you guys are really the tip of the spear when it comes to the home experience and dealing with the consumers and getting them set up for electrification for a lot of these OEMs. Why don't you kind of put into your own words, who you are to the customer?
Sure. Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to chat with your listeners. You know, what we are is the person who's supposed to delight the consumer in their garage at their home and leave with a big halo on our head. And if we do a good job and we explain what we're doing properly and we do the QA on the back end the way that we're structured to do it, we generally get a pretty good outcome, and our numbers from a CSAT and NPS would validate that. But you know, what we have to overcome and the market has to overcome, and the consumer really needs to be aware of it, is there is a profound scarcity of labor in the building trades, and more specifically and acutely in electrical. And so we're able to address that by really appealing to the electrical contractors who have the aptitude and maybe the curiosity of mind to want to be part of the vanguard of the electrification movement. And it's not to disparage the electrical guy who's going to put in some lights or a ceiling fan, but there's a very, very, very large gap between those that know what they're doing on electrification and bundles and systems integration and your typical electrician.
I've heard you use the phrase trunk slammers in the past, and I really like that. It's like, yeah, I know a guy who can wire this up for you. No problem. Guy shows up in like a, 93 Camry with a bunch of tools in its trunk. The visual is perfect.
Well, and the sad thing is it plays into the whole five-star rating game. So, you know, I know a lot of people who think that's, sacrosanct, and that, if there's a 4.9 versus a 4.7, I'm going to go with the 4.9. I would love to have somebody explain to me how they divine the difference between 4.7 and 4.9. We spent a lot of time when we built this platform with the Quant Group at Mercer, and they're the guys who founded Human Capital Analytics and Workforce Science. You know, one of my good buddies is Hagnell Banchin, who wrote Play to Your Strengths. And what they told me is that the five-star rating is so gamed that it should really only be 5 to 10% of the rating of a contractor or the rating of an employee. And as evidenced by the fact, everybody tries to sell you to go on Google or go on Reddit or go on this and give them a five-star rating. The Uber driver, are you ever going to really tell them when you're in the back of the car that, you didn't have a great experience? Most people aren't that confrontational. Wine ratings, is every wine on the planet really over 90? Hard to believe. So what the rating system is saying is that everyone is in the top 5% of that industry. And that's just a human impossibility given fallibility and frailties of humanity. So somehow, somewhere, people are buying into this rating system that is basically being gamed. And so what we did was we built something that had both a quantitative and qualitative aspect to it that measures lots of factors in real time. Some are very binary and some are peer-to-peer. So we get a relative indexing of how they perform against other people in their market, but we also get the hard, yes, no, what's their EMR rating for safety? What's their do they have the licensing? Do they have the bonding? Do they have the certifications and training? So, what we've done is more like a 1,000-point FICO score to govern the meritocracy, and that's really where the Q Merit name came from. So we have projects going in the queue, distributed based on a meritocracy. So the strivers and achievers in our network get the most opportunities. And realistically, that's how you get the best outcomes for the consumer.
Right. And then from the consumer's point of view, like, they don't need to know any of that. They just need to know that you've done the work, that you've vetted everybody, and that you guys are going to stand behind the people that you've chosen and to fly the Qmara flag.
Yeah, well, true, absolutely true. And I think the important thing, and this is what, you know, most consumers don't know, you know, I certainly wouldn't have known it, but there are many, many elements to making this a successful and reasonably elegant process. But if the contractor shows up and they don't do a load calculation on your panel, they're doing a disservice because they need to future-proof your home. You may be buying your first EV, you're all excited, you got a 40-amp circuit going in, but what happens if you buy a Silverado and it's 80 amps or a F-150 that's 80 amps? You may not have enough room in your panel. So A, you need to do a load count to make sure it'll accommodate the current EV, but also what are your future plans? You know, if you've got four kids like I do, odds are you're gonna end up with more than one electric vehicle. Yeah. Pulling permits is absolutely a must. And if the contractor's not doing that, it's to save time, it's to save hassle, it's to save money, but it's not saving you anything. And a lot of the DIY guys or a lot of people who've shoehorned in a jacuzzi in their backyard don't want the inspector coming out because they're like, where'd that come from? But right, if you're going to resell your house or you know, if you want peace of mind, you need to have that permit. The other thing we do to help offset the cost is we're going to tell the homeowner about whatever local rebates and incentives that are available. Everybody kind of knows what the IRA is all about and federal money or tax credits. But those local rebates and incentives, especially in small cities or municipalities, there's one in Northern California is providing $3,500 as a rebate for a new panel upgrade.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, if you don't know that, you're not going to ask, right? So there's a lot of things like that, making sure they're licensed, insured, background checking their references, having somebody like us who is in the trade. So I think, again, the difference is a lot of people will claim to have a network of contractors. We actually self-perform in many of the key markets in the country because, to your earlier point, we are the tip of the spear. We have to figure out if the equipment actually works. It performs as it says, if there's any gremlins in it. There are several times with things like 1450 plugs that people buy at big box retailers. They're just not designed for the application of having 8 to 10 hours of a 40, 60 or 80 amp load on it 3 times a week. And they go buy a residential grade plug and it has a thermal event. You need to buy a commercial grade 1450 plug. We advocate hardwiring everything. We just don't think it's worth it. But I give you an example in you know, my own home. So I had a general contractor. I had a general contractor. He said, oh, these guys are great. You know, I said, okay, well, I'll stand back. They did the installation. I had, you know, power walls and solar and charging and everything else. And after about 6 months, the plug was coming loose and I was concerned. So I had one of our owned locations go out there. They had used one of the 1450 plugs that we had discontinued and put out a red alert on that, you know, do not use this plug because of thermal events. The screws on the outlet had come loose. One of the wire connectors fell out. They had used THN wire without running it in conduit inside the wall. The red conductor was damaged and had copper exposed. The black conductor was severely damaged and taped inside the panel. And the plastic box was damaged and not secured properly. So other than that, it was perfectly safe. And if that happens at my house, you know, that can happen at anybody's house, right?
Yeah, you know, it's so wild too, because you know, it's not like you went cheap. It's not like you tried to do this inexpensively, right? Like you had the Tesla, you had the Powerwall, you had like, you know, you're buying what a lot of people would probably say, some objectively and some because they're in a cult. But what a lot of people would say is the best of the best in terms of solar and kind of whole home integration, right? Now, this is obviously a couple of years ago. We're starting to see more of those products come out, whether it's from Ford or GM Energy or these other, or Hyundai, I think has a new solution as well, that they're getting into this whole home sort of battery backup and solar integration. And you're doing that as well. I mean, we want to be fair that Qmara, you may have heard of these guys as the people who are installing the home charger, but you guys are really much more than that.
Yeah, and just for the record, I do not have a Tesla, but I do have power walls and I do have a charger, and I won't tell you
right,
what
right.
EV I drive.
You got the system
but,
from
yeah,
Tesla.
But I do have an integrated bundled system. I mean, the history of Qmerit is 13 plus years ago, we made a very big bet in commercial as our predecessor company. And literally, I think we gave one of the first $1 million POs to Coulomb, which became ChargePoint. We did tens of thousands of commercial installations. And when I spun this company out of one of the Fortune 500 companies that I was an EVP at, we kind of were asked by several of the major manufacturers, can you please address residential and multifamily? It's really difficult. And we took on the challenge, and it took 3+ years of iterating on the model to get it right. But we bring that commercial grade mentality to residential and multifamily. And what you'll find is in most trades, commercial guys don't go down market very well, and residential guys don't go up market very well. We've spent literally our entire life in mid-market commercial to multifamily down to resi. And so we kind of understand the higher end resi guys that can do light commercial, the light commercial guys that'll go into resi. And given that based on the studies we saw 6-7 years ago, that 85% of all level two charging was going to take place at home, we thought, okay, the bet is solve the riddle in resi and then do a home and away play. So we have the person with their car delighted at home. Odds are if they're in a company, they're going to want that work done there too. And so I think it's worked out quite well for us, but it is something that's not generally center of the fairway aptitude of your average electrician.
Fair enough. Now, you know, you talk about this kind of unique space that you guys are in. Maybe unique is not the right word, but where you exist in that light commercial, high resi kind of environment. And you and I have talked before about the 7 things that Qmerit does, that like checklist of the 7 things that Qmerit does to keep the consumer safe. First of all, let's go down that list, because I don't think we've done that in this episode. So let's go down that list of the 7 things that Qmerit does to make sure that the residence is safe. And then also how that applies to the commercial space as well, because obviously when you're a commercial landowner, you're a landlord, you've got not only the liability of people's homes, but you've got the liability of people's ongoing business. You want to make sure that's safe as well. So I'll leave the floor to you on that one. 7's a lot for me.
Sure. Well, and I covered a little bit of it earlier, but really our journey starts with a digital site survey. And we did this commercially and then adapted it and brought it into resi, because the most important thing, if you're a contractor-centric business model, which we are, and if you are contractor-centric, you're going to delight the end user. Because if the contractor shows up with a smile on his face and they know they're not being, you know, drilled down on so that they go out of business, I mean, that's not the goal.
Professional.
They're going to do a better job. And so this digital site survey removes putting them through the drill of having to roll trucks to go do bids. They hate doing that, and they don't have the labor to do it. So if you understand scarcity labor, you understand we remove a lot of that sales cost for them. That frees up 8 to 14% of their overhead to apply back into their business, which they like. So with that, they're willing to do load calculations on every job. They're willing to pull permits on every job. They're willing to help with the rebate program so that, you know, we make sure that the consumer is getting the most value for their buck. And it's the same with the utilities, and it's the same with commercial. It's confusing, right? And we have a team of folks that do that. That is why our NPS score is off the charts and why our CSAT numbers are kind of industry leading. You know, yes, I'll say that because we're in the industry we're in, maybe we get a little more credit from the true believers than we deserve. But we also deserve a lot, because we've got a lot of truly talented people and talented contractors doing a great job out there. But we also monitor those contractors, and we maintain custody of payment. So from a consumer standpoint, or even from a commercial standpoint, we are the person who maintains the relationship with the fleet company or the auto OEM or the EVSE company. We own chain of payment. And until they give us the QA on the back end that's part of our digital process, they aren't going to get paid. So we don't have any open doors, you know, on the back of our process that could let people do a less superior job than we're asking for. And then again, you know, for peace of mind, for fleets, for people like that, they're going to want ongoing operations and maintenance. They're going to want monitoring. They're going to want back end software to maintain and operate their network, which a sister company of ours, EV Connect, does. So it's, you know, there's a lot to it, And it takes all of the constituents playing well together to make it work. And every once in a while, you're going to get somebody who doesn't do a great job. But the most important thing from a Chimeric standpoint is we will fix it every time. We're not going to leave anybody with a bad experience. You know, we'll jump through every hoop, no matter how high or on fire, to make sure that customer is delighted.
But, you know, you keep using that word delight, and I really appreciate that. When you guys go into someone's home, right, after they've made the second biggest investment of their life, which is a new car, you're going to go into the first biggest investment of their life, usually, which is their home. And, you know, within the industry, we talk about the organizing principle. You've got your electric car, you've got your charger, you've got your home battery, you've got your smart appliances, you've got your heat pump, you've got your solar panels. And who is the organizing principle? And I think that, and I'm sure I stole this from you, but I don't remember stealing this from you. So like, it seems like a really good idea. It's a little too smart for me. That by going into the home and delighting the customer and delivering a top shelf experience, right, that you have now earned the right to approach them and discuss further implementation strategies like home solar, like Internet of Things. So by kind of that definition, you're really the organizing principle of all of this and kind of bringing the whole home into it. You mentioned that the OEMs are kind of talking to you that way, that some of the other solar systems that are out there are working this way. Is that a conscious thing, or is it just something that comes from this, you know, dedication to quality and meritocracy that you have?
Well, I'd like to believe we're an organizing principle, at least one of the spokes in the wheel. I think, but for the EV and obviously big trailblazing work that Elon Musk did, and now the real car companies are in the mix. You know, without the car, there is no electrification movement. But our bet and our belief was the way to the customer's heart was through the garage, not the roof. And if solar was the key to electrification, they'd have more than 5% market share after 30 years. They don't. And so you see the solar companies pivoting into storage and into EV charging. And most of them are not licensed to do the work because they have class 46, not C10s in California. And if they do, they don't have a whole bench of electricians to do that work. So we end up doing a lot of work with them and for them. But I would say that, you know, we have earned the right through these high trust relationships to take the consumer on that journey, at least from an education standpoint. And then it depends on who our partner is. The OEM that has their own bundled solution, you know, they're going to want to sell theirs, or we're going to be the installation implementation partner. I think that works out really well for everybody involved. But the thing I've said in the past is the complexity is the opportunity. It is for us. It also is for the OEM. But the kind of the humorous anecdote that I've seen relative to the utilities, you know, they have the incumbent relationship with that homeowner, but the homeowner doesn't believe that the utility is the best one to take them on the electrification journey, right? And there's all kinds of different constituents vying for that title, whether it's Siri and Google and Amazon, or whether it's a home automation company, or the EVSC companies, or the auto OEMs, or the utility, or the solar companies. They're all converging on this consumer, and they all want the data, and they all want to enroll them in a virtual power plant program, and they all want the distributed energy services that they can sign them up for, because those are highly valuable. So at some point, when EVs become totally democratized and they're available at a price point where, you know, it goes beyond 5% to 15, 20, 30%, you're going to see all kinds of opportunities for consumers to make better choices and more money. And I think there will be fewer players on the field vying for their attention. But right now, if I'm a consumer, I'm confused. I'm getting bombarded by everybody. And so, you know, as I said before, you know, America is a car nut country. I'm probably going to trust the car company to tell me that these are the things that will work with my home system. And, you know, everybody wants a single pane of glass for all the apps and everything else. We'll see. You know, we're early innings on this journey. I don't know who the winner is going to be, but I'd like for all of them to be our customers.
Well said. You know, it's funny too. And the utilities who provide the electric fuel, they provide the electricity. they really, some more than others, I think some kind of deserve it. I think if you talk about Austin Energy, the great work that they're doing, PG&E, and the great work that they're doing training the dealers and doing that kind of outreach into the community to explore some of the ways that electricity can serve as a reliable, dependable fuel source for your transportation needs. I think some of those companies really kind of do a better job of earning that right than others. But you've got other companies that are just like, yeah, we own the electricity, so we should own this entire experience. And it's such a bizarre thing because Chevron didn't tell me how to drive a car, right? Like, you know, Texaco and Haviland never told me where I was, you know, like they didn't dictate or even try to dictate such a huge part of my life the way the utility companies are. And I wonder if that comes from this idea that like they're already in the home, or do they just see this as like some kind of, you know, as you've said before, Game of Thrones scenario where we're finally going to take the power away from the oil companies. I don't know, man. It all seems very complicated. I would just like to know that when I plug in my car, it's going to work.
Yeah. And I think if you look at the history, guys like John D. Rockefeller may not have sold the car, but he had every piece of the supply chain up until that nozzle going in the vehicle. And he made sure you paid a premium for part of that and became one of the richest guys in the country. So
we're not going to land on Mars by paying, you know, cost. Okay. Somebody's got to pay retail if we're going to Mars.
Yeah. Well, and it's really interesting because, you know, the utilities are trying to find their footing on what's the best model for them. And they've got problems with exposed overhead wires and fires and down power lines from the ice storms. We talked about Austin, and they're all trying to figure out how they're going to play in this game and how they're going to optimize and maximize the value that they get from that consumer. But now there are multiple people on the consumer side of the fence, all trying to figure out how to level the playing field with the utility. So it's a different game than they've played for the last 100+ years.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. You know, just kind of going down some of the things that we've talked about in the past. You know, we talked about the scarcity of labor. We talked about the whole home system. We talked about, you know, which I didn't know about the queue merit being like you're in a queue and then it's doled out by merit. I think that's fantastic. The only thing that we kind of haven't touched on that I wanted to is, you know, this idea that we are at the V1 kind of stage for these systems. You made the point that, you know, when someone's installing one of these systems in their home, they want to kind of future-proof it a little bit. But if you're doing that today with something like Ford system or, you know, the GM Energy system, which I don't believe is actually in anyone's home yet, you know, you're kind of locking yourself into a brand for the foreseeable future, right? Because the Ford system, at least as it exists today, is not compatible with other EV brands. And I think Powerwall is a little bit different in that it might be compatible with other EVs. But yeah, I mean, you're the guy. Tell us a little bit more about that. And
I think it's no different than the venture industry or the private equity industry. When you have an emerging market or companies kind of at the vanguard of a new technology, they're all going to have proprietary hooks in their products. They're making enormous R&D investments to get these things off the ground. So is Ford going to behave any more altruistically than GM or Lucid or anybody? No, they're all going to build something that works really, really well with their equipment before they're going to worry about everybody else's equipment. And so part of it is, you know, I wouldn't say it's predatory, but it's probably proper given the fact that they're making, you know, billions and billions of dollars of investment. And they first have to delight their own customers. So brand loyalty comes from the last 100 years of being Chevrolet, right? And so now you've got a Chevy EV. They want to make sure that EV experience for that Chevy driver is great. And so are they going to worry V1 about whether or not that works with a Ford or a Hyundai? No, they're not. When you get to V2 or V3 or bi-directional and upgraded technologies, the interoperability is going to become table stakes. So, you know, is that 18 months out? Is that 3 years out? Hard to say. Some companies will make more progress than others, but the kind of titrating down of all of the component pieces of these whole home backup systems into something simple, easily understandable, and, you know, being able to be used by multiple brands, that's where it's all got to go. But even the big electrical manufacturers, will struggle with having their panel with this hybrid inverter, with this battery storage system, and the generator companies will, the microinverter companies will, they all will. So I think early innings, you have to give them a bit of a pass because they're the ones making the investment. As the market matures, you know, consumers are going to demand it because not everybody's a 3-4 home, right? And if you've got three EVs and, you know, one's at a lower price point and one's at a higher price point, one's at a medium price point, it doesn't matter what the brand is. You need to be able to charge them all and you need to be able to use them as a backup and all the other things you want to do for arbitrage and optimizing the value of that battery with the utility.
But we're going to get to a point, I think, where somebody's going to buy a home that's already going to have a whole home electrical system in it, and you're going to pull up into it, and maybe you'll see that blue oval or that blue square, or maybe it'll be a Hyundai H or a Volvo Ironmark, whatever it is, and you're going to plug your car into it, and it's going to just work, and then you're going to go, maybe my next car should be one of these since I'm already buying, or maybe it's going to go the other way. Maybe it's going to be like impossible to sell a home with a certain power system on the wall because you don't have, you have to find someone with a compatible car to buy.
Yeah. Unless the guy wants to sell his truck with the house today, that's a problem. Right. But in the future, I think you'll be able to keep your truck.
I love it.
It won't be a problem.
Tracy, thank you so much for being a part of this again. We obviously love talking to you. I know you're in Austin right now. We're going to be in Austin in November. We've got Industry Day in Long Beach coming up at the Long Beach Convention Center. That's going to be in May. Obviously, seven stops for the live show this year. We're going to be in LA, San Francisco, Austin, DC, New York, and Miami. I think that's seven. Follow along on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Tracy, for people listening in, they want to find out more about what you're doing. They want to follow along and kind of see your progress and see the different stuff that you guys are up to. How do they follow Qmerit?
Yeah, www.qmerit.com. And we have blogs and social media and resource center and Electrification Institute, all kinds of cool things that they can poke around and take a look at.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much. Again, check out qmerit.com and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.